Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the faithful remnant as we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 19. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
They were attributing the demise and the destruction to their ceasing to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven. How man can so totally twist the truth and blame God for the tragedies that come upon his life and accuse God for the things that have gone wrong and say, man, you know, things went well. I was doing great until I started serving God. Then he wiped me out. And here, they were blaming their destruction upon the fact that they had quit burning the incense to the Queen of Heaven. As long as we were, you know, faithful to her, she was blessing us. We had plenty of food. Things were great until we ceased burning incense to her. And now all of this calamity has come upon us. And after all, our husbands knew what we were doing. Then Jeremiah said unto all the people and to the men and to the women that had given him this answer, the incense that you have burned in the cities of Judah, in your streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings, your princes, the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? Did it not come into his mind? So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation. Jeremiah sets the record straight. Look, it's because you were burning this that God has brought his judgment upon you. Therefore is your land a desolation, an astonishment, a curse, and without inhabitant as it is this day, because you have burned incense and because you have sinned against the Lord. And you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies. Therefore is this evil happened to you as it is this day. Keep the record straight. It's your forsaking God and your turning after these other gods that caused this judgment of God to fall. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all of Judah and all that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out the drink offerings unto her. And you will surely accomplish your vows, and surely you'll perform these vows. You've made your vows to the Queen of Heaven, and you'll be sure to keep them. Therefore, hear the word of Jehovah, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt, behold, I have sworn by my great name. Oh, look out. When God swears by his name, because he can swear by no higher, saith Jehovah, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in the land of Egypt, saying, the Jehovah God lives. Behold, I'm going to watch over them for evil, not for good. And all of the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there is an end of them. And yet, a small number that escaped the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt. God always has his faithful remnant. You notice that? In the midst of a world of apostasy and sin, there are always the faithful remnant of God. Remember, Elijah said, Lord, God says, Elijah, what are you doing down here in this cave, Sinai Desert? Oh, I've been jealous for you. And they've killed all of your prophets, and I am left of all of Israel. God says, that's not true. Elijah, I have 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. God knew them. There was the faithful remnant. A lot of times we think we're the only ones, but God has his faithful remnant always. God pronounces this desolation that is coming, and yet a small number, his faithful remnant, that will escape and will return out of the land of Egypt to the land of Judah. and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words will stand, mine or theirs. You'll find out who's telling the truth. Now, of course, time is always that great factor. You know, false prophets so often prophet for a while. You know, for a time, they get along great, and they can gather a following, but time is always against them. In time, it'll show up. Jimmy Jones did great for a while. Gathered quite a following. Popular move. A lot of people joining in. Off the wall. He could get by with it for a while, but ultimately, it catches up with you. And there are flashes that, you know, come on the scene. They draw a lot of attention to themselves. They come with some off-the-wall kind of a doctrine. Everybody is going. They've got the ear of the crowd, you know. They're popular. They have their day, but time is against them. In time, it shows up. And so that's what the Lord said. Okay, time will be a witness. The time will come when you'll find out who's telling the truth, me or you. And this will be the sign. I will punish you in this place that you may know that my words shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith Jehovah, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, the king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, his enemy, who sought his life. Now, we have the advantage of history and hindsight, and we can see that it was God's word that stood. Nebuchadnezzar came down and conquered Egypt. God's word stood. It always will. Never set yourself against God's word. You'll lose every time. Now, as we move into chapter 45, we are moving into the final part of Jeremiah's prophecies. This is known as the sixth part of the prophecies, in which we have miscellaneous prophecies that are come from the different periods of Jeremiah's life, but they are directed, for the most part, against the nations that are round about Israel. And God brings these nations around Israel, Egypt, the Gentile powers, Philistia, Tyre, Babylon, and so forth. He brings them into a prophetic view as God declares the judgments that will come upon these various nations. But chapter 45 is a message to Baruch, who was Jeremiah's friend and scribe. Jeremiah dictated to Baruch, who was a scribe and who wrote the words of Jeremiah in a book. So this is the word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king's aide. Now, you remember Jehoiakim took this scroll and he cut it with his penknife and tossed it in the fire. Now, at the time that Jeremiah gave to him these words and Baruch wrote them, God also gave a special word to Baruch. Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch. Wouldn't that be something to have God give you a personal message? Heavy duty, you know. And yet, I have had God give to me personal messages right out of his word. When right out of the word of God, the word just seemed to speak to you. And you knew it was God speaking to you right out of the book. And just a personal application, it just fits so perfectly and was so appropriate for the moment. Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch. You did say, woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Actually, Jehoiakim, when he cut up the scroll, was seeking Baruch. He was going to really give it to him for reading that scroll. And Baruch was in hiding. And he heard that Jehoiakim was after him and all, and he says, oh, woe is me, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. That's what Baruch was saying. But thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord saith this, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. I've built this nation, I'm going to break it down. I've planted, I'm going to pluck it up. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Don't seek them. The whole thing's going to go down, Baruch. I'm going to pluck the place up. I'm going to break it down. So it is foolish at this point to seek great things for yourself. Seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places wherever you go. In other words, I'll spare your life wherever you go, but I'm going to bring destruction. Therefore, the message of the Lord to Baruch basically was, don't seek great things for yourself. The whole system's going down the tube. So why seek great things for yourself? Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What if you could gain the whole world? What joy do you think you would have being the richest man in hell? What should it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Don't seek great things for yourself. It's all coming down, Baruch. Don't worry about it. Don't seek a great name. Don't seek greatness for yourself. Just seek God. God will protect you. Wherever you go, he'll be with you. He'll give you your life. But don't seek after great things for yourself. Jeremiah had one of the most difficult ministries that any servant of God has ever been called to perform. For from the beginning, his ministry was destined for failure. God told Jeremiah in the beginning, I'm going to send you to these people, but they're not going to listen to you. And so it happened. Jeremiah came and spoke the word of the Lord faithfully to them, but they didn't listen. And because they will not listen, thus I am going to bring upon them all of the evil that I have declared. And Jeremiah had to stand by helplessly, knowing what was happening, seeing the decay, seeing the downhill plunge, seeing the people headed towards destruction, calling out, crying out, warning them, but unable to do anything to turn them or to stop them from their own disastrous path to oblivion. He had to watch and oversee the death of the nation, that God might be faithful and righteous in his judgment, so that no one could say, well, God didn't warn us, or God didn't tell us, or, oh, if God had only told us, things would be different. God is always faithful. He always has his servants there to warn and to speak the truth. I feel that there are tremendous parallels that can be drawn between the nation of Israel at this time of their decline and fall and the United States, in that Israel was known as a people of God. In their beginning, they were founded upon God. They experienced the blessings of God, and God made them a strong and powerful nation. And you can see the parallels. In the beginning, our founding fathers were looking to God for guidance in the establishing of these United States. And they established the Constitution guaranteeing the freedoms of worshiping God. One nation under God acknowledged the fact that we were a nation under God, and we were known as a nation under God. And God blessed and prospered our nation. But Israel, when they became prosperous, got their eyes off of God and began to worship and serve other gods, the gods of their own hands, the gods of materialism, even as we in the United States today are burning our incense to the gods of materialism. And having forsaken the true and the living God, they became forsaken by God, and they were weakened. And they ultimately fail. Jeremiah had to watch the fall, seeing what was going on, warning them, but with no avail. He had to see the tragic consequence of a nation who had turned their backs on God. I am deeply concerned of the horrible moral conditions that exist in the United States today. I'm deeply concerned about the prevalency of pornography, the exploitation of sex. We're about as low as we can go. It can't go on. Now, God has his faithful remnant. And God will be faithful to his remnant. They shall escape. But the judgment of God is going to fall heavy and hard. You can be sure of that. God's word gives vivid details of his judgment that is coming very soon. Jesus spoke in great detail of that judgment. And turning to his followers, he said, "Pray always that you'll be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that are going to come to pass upon the earth and to be standing before the Son of Man." Pray that you'll be that faithful remnant. More than pray, commit your life to God. Serve the Lord. Put him first. Beware, Jesus said, speaking of these last days, lest at any time your own heart be overcharged with surfeiting the dining pleasures, drinking, drunkenness, or the cares of this life, that day come upon you by surprise, for it will come as a surprise upon all who are dwelling upon the earth. Be careful it doesn't take you by surprise. Live after the Spirit. Walk after the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Turn from a life of the flesh and the seeking of the satisfying or gratifying of your flesh to live a life after the Spirit. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Even as in Israel, womanhood became degraded, I notice how they are attempting to degrade womanhood today, starting with pretty little teenage girls and making them sex symbols. How tragic. We hold them up as examples to the women. God help us. For when women become degraded, that's always the final straw. You that are the Lord's, serve him. Make a new commitment of your life to God. God, I'm going to live after the Spirit. I'm going to follow after you. I'll forsake Egypt. I'll forsake the flesh. And I'll live wholly after thee, O God. The time has come for you to make that kind of a commitment. And to lead your family in it that they might escape these things that are shortly coming to pass, as God's judgment is certain to fall upon this godless generation. Time will show whose word is going to stand, that of the agnostic or that of God, that of the liberal press, that of the mocker, or that of the true and the living God. But the thing is, when God's word was proved true, it was then too late. God warned through Noah, there's going to be a flood. Flood, whoever heard of a flood? Water's going to fall from heaven. Whoever heard of rain? Noah went in. God shut the door. It began to rain. Oh, we believe you now. Wow. Too late. There are many believers too late. God's word is going to stand. It's important that we stand on God's word.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Jeremiah in our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Jeremiah 44 through 45 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. Fill your heart with love. Fill your heart with praise. Fill your heart with God's Spirit, that He might work in you, bringing you into the image of Christ, helping you to be what God wants you to be, a true representation of Him before this poor, sad, sin-cursed world. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Have you ever thought about this simple phrase, God loves you? This just might be the most important truth you could ever grasp, that God has called you into a loving relationship with Himself. Unfortunately, many of us have been brought up to think that we need to earn God's love. In Chuck Smith's book, Why Grace Changes Everything, Pastor Chuck imparts years of wisdom from his own experiences, how he thought he had to work hard and deny his own desires for God to love him. But when he unlocked the secret to God's grace, this changed everything. Come alongside Pastor Chuck to discover an astonishing truth about your relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's not based upon your works, but based upon God's love for you. It's true. Grace changes everything. To find out more and to read a preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download Why Grace Changes Everything by Chuck Smith. Or if you would like to order this book in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.